Here we go. Welcome, everybody, to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, still live from Cayman Islands, where we spend now a second week with our mastermind members trading these crazy markets live. And yeah, there's a lot to talk about because last week, I mean, on Friday, the Dow plummeted 600 points and the Nasdaq 3%, but we were still positive for the week. So what can we expect this week? We have more data coming out this week, the inflation report, so we'll talk about this and we'll see what happened today in the markets. Do we see a sell-off or are we bouncing back after Friday's sell-off? We shall see. So lots to talk about, and of course we will also show you what's happening with our positions because we are real traders and we trade live accounts. And in case we haven't met, I'm Marcus Heidkotter. This is my head coach, Mark Hodge. And yeah, we are watching the markets every day live. We are trading our live accounts and we'll show you what it's like to be a trader. And we're showing you what we are doing and we hope that this helps you what you're doing. All right. With that said, super short intro. Again, still island time.
Yeah.
But let's take a look at the markets and see of what's happening here. And so right now, I have the S&P 500 up, and we see that on Friday, I mean, last Monday and Tuesday, huge up day, lower, but still up for the week. But today, different story.
Yeah, I mean, quite a week last week, Marcus, and it was a perfect example of good news is bad news. And so we had that jobs report come out Friday morning. That really driving the movement on Friday, and I think we're getting a little carryover from that as well this morning. Jobs coming in much stronger than expected, which means that the Fed is most likely going to continue raising rates at a strong pace, and we'll see what happens this week with data. But I think we're getting a little more follow through there after that report.
It seems so. But let's say, since you talked about the data, let's talk about data really quick, and let's take a look at the economic calendar for this week. So today also super interesting. It's a bank holiday, but the markets are open. Banks are closed, but markets are open. Many schools are closed, post offices are closed. Markets open, and Fed member Brainard is even speaking today.
Yeah, bond market is closed, but major exchanges are open, and so we see trading going on. But yeah, I mean, there's some Fed commentary throughout the week, but not the biggies this time.
The big one is this week we have inflation reports again. We have the PPI, the producer price index, on Wednesday, and then on Thursday we have the CPI, and these are basically the main inflation gauges. I mean, this is where we can already see the CPI year over year is expected to drop from 8.3 to 8.1%, but will it? Because it seems that thus far the Fed aggressively raising interest rates has not really driven down inflation just yet.
Yeah, and you see that year over year number, but CPI and core CPI is expected to increase for last month. And that's not what the Fed wants to see, right? We have a situation where we might be slowing down a little bit, but we're not seeing that big drop in inflation, and the strong job market based on Friday's report is not a good recipe for the Fed to be slowing down their efforts.
Yeah, and this is where we see that traders are right now basically factoring in a 75 basis point hike. I mean, now with an 81.4% probability. And again, the next Fed meeting is on November 2nd, so we're still 23 days away. But I don't think that this will change, especially since last week we heard from many Fed members who said, no, we were just getting started. So that's what we probably see, the 75 basis points.
And if it is the change, it could change after Thursday, right? PPI data also important that's coming out Wednesday morning, but CPI data, you could argue, is more important, the consumer price index. So if this 75 probability, or the 81% probability that a 75 basis point hike will take place, that will most likely be changed after Thursday's report, if there's a surprise.
Yeah, and today's market, super interesting. I want to look at the E-mini S&P and a 5-minute chart, because overnight, at first, it looked like we would open lower, but then right before the open, this is right before the open, we saw a push higher. And I mean, the E-mini S&P pointed to a higher opening, even the E-mini NASDAQ, the E-mini Dow. But then as we can see, going into the open, there's just nervousness in the markets right now. So the S&P down 0.5%, the NASDAQ down 1.5%.
Yeah, the Dow actually positive quite a bit this morning, and then finally following along with the S&P and the NASDAQ. And a decent down day for the NASDAQ so far. We'll see if there's more to the downside.
Yeah, and when we look at the VIX, this is the fear gauge. We see that this morning it is popping higher, basically at trading at levels that we have seen last Wednesday, which was super surprising because we had these up days. And usually when we have up days in the markets, the VIX, the fear index, should go down. But last Monday and Tuesday, when over 2 days the S&P rallied almost 6%, we saw that the VIX going higher.
Yeah, and are you, you're on a daily chart, right?
I'm on a daily chart.
That was a little bit earlier. But with the VIX, it tracks S&P 500 premium, option premium, right? So when there's more of an expected move, options traders are going to inflate that premium. And that's what's driving the VIX higher, and it looks like right now, although markets are down, this is what we would expect with the VIX. Traders are saying, hey, we expect more volatility with these reports.
Yeah, because earlier when the markets were rather flat, the VIX was already up 5%.
Exactly.
And this is where just, okay, expect a volatile week. And today the volatility is to the downside. Last week for 2 days, it was to the upside. So we shall see what happens. Interesting also, last week, crude oil started to march higher. And I mean, it's still going higher. And this after OPEC cut production by 2 million barrels per day.
Yeah, we saw the news, or the rumor actually, that a 1 million barrel cut could be on the table. That had an impact early on, and then it kind of slowed down a little bit. Although a big move Friday, pulling back a little bit today, back below $92 a barrel.
Yeah, but I mean, rallying above $90 again.
That's a big move off of 75.
That is a huge move. So if you measure it from where we were here to as high as we moved, that's a 20% move. So crude oil moving 20% in a couple of weeks, that's significant.
Yep.
So will this do anything to the CPI and PPI that's being released right now?
No, because this is new data. And so when we're looking at PPI, CPI data, it's already for the previous month, not really factoring in what took place.
Yeah. Looking at interest rates, you mentioned it, super interesting right now. Interest rates are closed today. The bond markets are closed. So this is where we see still the for the 10-year yield, the 3.99.2, and we might actually see it pushing above 4 again tomorrow.
I would make that bet unless there's a rally into the close.
Yeah, not seeing that rally yet. Looking at a 5-minute chart, it seems that earlier markets found some support, but now still moving lower. I mean, right now we see on Friday how we were just moving lower, lower, lower. And
yeah,
right now it also seems that we are just continuing this slide.
Yep, haven't seen a real bottom yet.
Yeah. All right, looking at our position. So one of the positions that I was in, Suncor, and just want to bring it up here. So Suncor, I sold the 919 put. And the 29 put on 919 got assigned. Then I sold the 29 call. And since we closed well above that on Friday, I got called away. So no more Suncor shares for me.
Time to do it again?
Well, that's a question, right? Today, Suncor popped up on the scanner, and right now it popped up at 29.50. And that's an excellent question because we received this question a lot. Like, hey, you did that at 29. Shouldn't you do it again? And this is where we look back, right? I mean, so here we see when I did this, Suncor had super solid support at 29, but then moved much lower towards 26. So support was broken here. Let me just get rid of the annotations here really quick. This way we can see it a little better. And this is where I would say, no, just because I did it 2 weeks ago, I don't want to do it again. Because now, when we remove this, we do see the lowest close indicator is telling us much better level would be 26.50.
Yeah, and this is where, you know, the point of support is this is where buyers have stepped in during the past, right? It's not this magic number that's absolutely going to hold. But if we see strong support, we're selling the 29 strike and support's around 30, then the idea is that if it drops down to that level or even goes below it, typically buyers will step in, or at least they're more encouraged to do so. Here we broke through that level and there was a nice snapback, so it worked out perfectly. But I would respect these lows And rather be a seller down near those lows or look for something that has stronger support altogether.
Yeah. Looking at our watch list, so Google, I got assigned at 108. You got assigned at 103.50. You were looking to sell some calls this morning, but you wanted to see that we are pushing probably above 100 before you start selling calls.
Yeah, and this is where we always say a good rule of thumb is sell puts on a down day, sell calls on an up day. It was a bit mixed at the open, and there was an opportunity to sell calls and get 30%. We had a few people in the mastermind do that. I was waiting to see if we had a little more direction. We didn't really get that. We opened higher and quickly pulled back. It looked like Google was finding some support. But at this point, I'm waiting and seeing if we could get a pop. 100 would be nice.
Yeah, because Google is also hanging in there, right? With the NASDAQ being down 1.5%, Google, one of the heavyweights in the NASDAQ, only down 0.9%. I mean, even though it's down, it's showing some resilience and some strength. So probably makes sense to wait. And when we have an update, Google might benefit from this over proportionally.
Agreed.
All right, Marriott, that is a new position that we entered last week. We are not yet assigned, but we have sold the puts, and we sold the 133 puts. Also, today, Marriott, hang in there. For most of the day, it was positive. So as we zoom in here, we see that Marriott was pushing higher today, now being dragged down by the market, but only down 0.2%. So as we can see, the 133, pretty safe right now. So we'll see what happens here by Friday. Right now, we have our 90% profit-taking order in because we might be able to take some profits over the next few days.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. NVIDIA sliding today. And this pretty much, I think, still in the wake of AMD that issued last week a warning and say, hey, last quarter, our revenue wasn't as strong. We're seeing a slowdown in the PC market. And that's true because you need to buy Macs.
And I have purchased one, but I'm not using it. I'm one of those
it's still
crazy
in the box.
People.
It's still in the box. Still have a PC, but you didn't buy another PC. And that's what AMD reported, and you have an AMD position on. And this is where we see some weakness in the semiconductors. So if I get rid of the volume here, we see that on Friday, a huge down day for AMD. You got assigned at 104, so right now not being able to sell calls. They're hanging in there today. Not yet a bounce back with the overall market weakness, but we'll see. I mean, at least they have it out of the way right now.
Yeah, and I know that some people said, oh, what are you doing with AMD? Are you getting rid of it? No, AMD is a trade in a position that I wanted to take, and at this point, I'm willing to manage. So I'm still in the trade. I'm not just dumping it. I do believe that this is a bit of an overreaction. Can we see more downside? Sure. But at this point, I'm looking to hold it for a longer period. I'm not expecting to get out in 2 weeks, but I'm okay being in this one for a couple of months. I do believe that there's more upside potential.
Yeah. Suncor, I can remove this. No longer in the position. This is where we completed the wheel. And again, there's three steps to the wheel. Step number one is your selling put. Then step number two, you might or might not get assigned. When you are, you move on to step number three, selling calls. And then I got called away. That was just a picture-perfect wheel trade.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, finally on the list here, TPR. Hanging in there, a little bit down today, pretty much in line with the market. But if you take an overall look at the markets and compare TPR to this, we see that the NASDAQ actually is making new lows right now for the year. And TPR has been hanging in there. So don't you lose. So we'll see. Right now, not being able to sell calls, but we'll see. I mean, I'll complete my bookkeeping today. I need to see if I have my latest account statement because today is a bank holiday. So the clearing firm might be closed. I need to double check this, but then I'll update it and see where we stand here.
Sounds good.
Hey, yeah.
You know, unless you had planned on mentioning it later, we have to talk about earnings.
Earnings coming up. Yeah, earnings. I mean, this week is where earnings start. And we have a few. We have PepsiCo reporting. Is it also Kraft Heinz or some? I don't know. But the big ones are happening at the end of the week. That's when the financials, the banks.
Yep, yep. Banks, JP Morgan, Citigroup, Wells Fargo. So in addition to the CPI, PPI data, earnings kickoff, and it's really a busy week for data. I saw that the S&P earnings in July, it was expected that third quarter earnings for the S&P would be about plus 9%. I think it's now 2.5%. Those aren't exact numbers, but we're seeing that the expectations in companies just like AMD saying that, hey, things are going to be worse than expected. Now it gets interesting because when companies start to say that they're expecting worse than what they had previously projected, if they actually do better or not as bad, you can get a pop, but it's the forward guidance that's going to be closely watched.
Right. And as always, we rely on data, and this is why we have our earnings analysis tool, and we can just bring it up and see for JP Morgan, what can we expect at the end of the week? And we see that JP Morgan usually over the last 12 quarters disappointed to the downside. So 58% of the time after they reported earnings, the stock price was moving lower quite significantly, on average by 5.7%.
Yeah, so here you see that the EPS is actually a beat 83% of the time, but that could be that forward guidance, or maybe that the traders just expect that they do a little bit better the next day close, and then also on the seventh day, just not as good for JPM.
Right. By the way, we have published and released a video of how to use this tool. So take a look at this here, because the question is, should you be trading options into earnings? We have a dedicated video. Take a look at this, and then we'll see you again tomorrow morning.
Happy trading, everybody.